Let's pray. Our Father, most gracious God, we just come, Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus. We ask you, Holy Spirit, rise up big within each and every one of us. We ask you, Holy Spirit, work and speak in and through it out of me. And let that word of the Father and Son fall on fertile ground. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And as the word said, you will see power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, saints of God, that the power of the Holy Spirit is given to us so that we can be effective witness for Christ and to expand his kingdom. So this morning, saints of God, the title of this message would be Divine Power for a Divine Purpose. A Divine Power for a Divine Purpose. We see that God promised the divine powers, which shall be solely for a divine purpose. This is because the power will come through the Holy Spirit, and the primary purpose should be to win souls for the kingdom of God. Though the baptism of the Holy Spirit is powerful, the purpose is not just to make us feel good or to know how much God loves us. The Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to tell the whole world about our Jesus. Amen. The Holy Spirit empowers us to fill the Great Commission. The power also involves courage, boldness, confidence, insight, ability, and the authority which all needed in fulfilling the Great Commission. Jesus promised disciples that they will receive powers to witness after they have received the Holy Spirit. So in order to see the Holy Spirit, it needs to be in the right order. In order for the Holy Spirit to work, it needs to be in the right order. See, in order for it to be in the right order, they must receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give them power, and they would witness through that power with extraordinary results. So you see, saints of God, when we reverse that order, we will be witnessing by our own power and our own authority, not by the power of the Holy Spirit. God has given us a great work to do for him, but the work must be done by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by our flesh. You see, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is the salvation of a soul. He designed and direct and arranged the meeting between the sinner and the soul winner. We see in Acts chapter 10, verse 19, it says, while Peter was thinking about the vision, the Spirit told him, three men are here looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and accomplish them with no doubt at all, because I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men and said, here I am, the one you are looking for. What is the reason you are here? And they said, Cornelius, a central, an upright and God-fearing man who have a good reputation with the whole Jewish nation, was divinely directed by a holy angel to call you to his house and to hear a message from you. So you see, saints of God, that the Holy Spirit arranged for a meeting with the unlost. We see that also with not only with Peter, but also with Philip, when he met the eunuch, when the Holy Spirit told him in chapter 8, verse 29, when he told directed him to the eunuch, he told him to go and walk beside the chariot for the eunuch, where the eunuch got led him to the conversion of the eunuch in that episode, chapter 8, verse 29, which read as, the Spirit told Philip, go and join that chariot, which Philip ran up to it, and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? How can I say this unless someone guide me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the scripture passage he was reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb in silence before its shears. So he does not open his mouth, and his humiliation and justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So you see that the Holy Spirit, one of his job is to guide the winning souls to the lost soul. We also see that most of the time, we are not sensitive to this kind of leading or prompting of the Holy Spirit, probably due to fear, lack of initial desire to add a soul, or being discouraged of our personal challenge. But the truth is that the Holy Spirit is still making sure arrangement is made today. It's left up to us, saints of God, to be able to hear and be comfortable with the Holy Spirit in order to hear what he is prompting us to do, in the direction it is leading us to go. He reminds the soul winner of scripture appropriate for the sinner before him. See, the Holy Spirit going to give you scripture to tell the lost, to witness to the lost. It led up to us to be connected with the Holy Spirit in order for us to witness to the lost. In this instant, the Holy Spirit can also give a word that will meet the sinner at the divine need that is necessary, and therefore drawing his attention toward God. So we need to go out there. We need to be witnessed for God, but not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Holy Spirit. For instance, the Holy Spirit led Jesus to ask the Samaritan woman about her husband, and this was an open door to her salvation. So you see, saints of God, the Holy Spirit would give you unction to bring on conversation or something that will happen in that sinner's life that will give you that opportunity, that door open for you to have a conversation with that sinner to make him feel comfortable. You ain't got to get in an arguing contest, you know, with them, but just tell them, thus saith the Lord, that, you know, in a way that they will understand. Also, the Holy Spirit quickened the scripture or the right words he have given proceeding from the soul winner lips and properly prevail it like an arrow into the sinner heart. So in other words, when the Holy Spirit give us something, it will pierce the hearts of the sinner man. We see in John chapter 16, verse 7, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away, because if I do not go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. When he have come, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment." So you see, that's the Holy Spirit duty. That's his part of his job, to convict and everything. So he give us the scriptures, the things to say, but it left up to us to be obedient to say it and to do it. We see also that the Holy Spirit guides the believer away from prevailing error and to perfect truth. We see that in John chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. "When the Spirit of truth come, he will guide you to all truth, for he will not speak off on his own, but he will speak whatever he hear. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you." So you see, the Holy Spirit, it will guide you in all truth. So he left up to you, saints of God, he left up to you and me to make sure that we are listening to the Holy Spirit and teaching truth, not what we think or what someone else said, but the word of God. it will lead you to all truth. All you have to do, saints of God, is to ask. See, conviction for sin and confusion or guilt, revival, is non-void. The Holy Spirit is not confusion. He do not give you a confusion scripture. He will lead you into all truth. So if what you're saying is not lining up with the word, it's not true. If anybody else tell you something that's not lining up with the word, it is not truth. The Holy Spirit's job is to lead you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit direct and penitent sinners to pray appropriately and therefore witness unforgiving to his and her heart. We see in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, and it says, all those led by God's Spirit are God's son, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testified together with our spirit that we are God's children. So you see, saints of God, the Spirit lets you know that you are God's child. So the Holy Spirit directs the sinner to pray appropriate when he become a saved soul. He would tell you, not I'm a sinner. You're not a sinner no more. So stop saying, well, I'm a sinner. You're not a sinner no more. You're a child of God. We, sometimes we just speak those words and everything because it sound religious, it sound right to say. But we got to be careful on the words that we speak. Also, we see that not only it convicts for sin and confession of guilt, it also in John 14, chapter 14, it says, verse 16, it said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. So the Holy Spirit, he is within you. He leads you. He guides you and everything. He won't leave you. The word said, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So long as you are born again, the Holy Spirit is in you, empowering you to go forth and witness into the whole world about our Jesus. We see that the Holy Spirit guides the believer away from prevailing error, and perfect truth. That is the job, thanks to God. Also, the experience of a believer who claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit and yet easily and very often fall into sin and error is inconsistent with truth. So if you, saints of God, have the Holy Spirit and everything, you won't be erring. If you listen to the Holy Spirit, you're guided by the Holy Spirit, you won't be led in error. You won't be let somebody else teach you in error, because you would know the word. You have to ask the Holy Spirit to come in and teach me. It's a good thing, saints of God, when we read in the Bible, always ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding, enlighten you with understanding. So we see that the Holy Spirit seal is the believer. We find that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And it says, and do not grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. So you see, saints of God, the seal is a proof of ownership and authority of genuine, indicated that the soul is genuinely converted and belongs to God. Your soul belongs to God. It don't belong to the devil. It belongs to God. So you got to be careful what you think, because it is sealed with the seal of the Holy Spirit. So we see that the Holy Spirit gives assurance of sonship and security to the repentant of sinners. Now convert the new believer receiving the seal of sonship by which he is able to draw near unto God freely and always. The role of the Holy Spirit is the salvation of soul is a great one. When he is not involved, neither there will be any conversion at all, or a counterfeit conversion would take place. So if we, in other ways, thanks to God, if we're not letting the Holy Spirit work in and through us, we is in the flesh. So when we think we helped somebody to be converted and not telling the truth, and we is in error, that's a counterfeit conversion. So we have to be careful how we teach, how we witness to the unbeliever. Because we are, believe it or not, a role model. We are mentors. Because people is looking at your life if you read it or not, if you believe it or not. People are actually looking at your life, how you live. Because first you live holy in front of them, but just get upset one day and say something or do something that an unbeliever don't, you know, that same thing that an unbeliever does. And then the first thing they'll say, I thought you was a believer. I thought you was a Christian. That was the first thing they would throw in your face. So we have to be careful, saints of God, and how we live our life. Amen. Also, we see that the role of the Holy Spirit is the salvation of the soul is a great one. When he is not involved, like I said, when the Holy Spirit is not involved in everything, we is in the flesh. So let the Holy Spirit use you. Be obedient to the Holy Spirit and his unction of his leading and his guiding. Also, the purpose of the Holy Spirit, the purpose and the power of the Holy Spirit is the experience of being filled by the Holy Spirit spontaneously ties up the process of power and the responsibility of the anointing for service. The Holy Spirit anointing is for ministry. A truly anointed one cannot be dominant. Jesus be dominant. In other words, if you fill with the Holy Spirit, you just can't sit by and do nothing. You're going to have to get up and do something. You got to be moved. You just can't say, well, yes, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Say with your hand crossed. You got to get up and do something. You got to witness to somebody if you feel with the Holy Spirit. You see also, saints of God, that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. After being anointed with the Holy Spirit and power went about doing good. We find that in Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good in healing all who was under the trance of the devil. So in other words, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can do things that is pertaining to the word. Like I always said, one of my things, never said, I can't, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? By the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do a lot of good in your neighborhood, on your job, in your local church. There are sinful souls to be saved and bleeding souls to be healed. Sorrowful soul to be comforted and suffering soul to be blessed. Longing souls to be cheered and needed soul to be fed. Perplexed soul to guide and stressed soul to relief. Redeemed soul to edify and oppressed soul to liberate. Anointing does not increase with inactivity. Don't be idle with God's power. So in other words, thanks to God, there are souls out there that need our witness unto. There are souls out there that need to be fed. There are souls out there that need to be cheered. There are souls out there that need to be healed. There are souls out there that need to be comfortable. So in other words, with our anointing, and everything, they can't be fed. Those souls out there cannot be helped if we sell an alibi with our hand folded. So you see, the Bible is filled with several examples of men and women who did great exploit from the kingdom of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Right from the day of Pentecost, the apostles start preaching the gospel of the kingdom with great boldness and authority, and many souls are being won into the kingdom of God. You see how you receive the power of the Holy Spirit? When you must constantly look out for the opportunity to preach the gospel, develop, convert into disciples, meet the real need of people around you, and generally fulfill a ministry or edification in your local church. With the baptism, saints of God, of the Holy Spirit come power, one, to worship the Lord in new tongues. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost has arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a violent or worshiping wind came from heaven. It would fill the whole house where they were sitting. In tongues like flame of fire that was divided appeared to them and rested on each one of them. So you see, saints of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we are baptized, we as believers should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You can worship the Lord in a new tongues as the Holy Spirit give you utter. Also be baptized with the Holy Spirit is witness for God, is a witness for Christ with great effect. We see that in also in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 through 38. It says, when they heard this, they came on a deep conviction and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brother, what must we do? Repent, Peter said to them, and be baptized, each of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiving of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Also, we see that being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it carries the sword of the Spirit with powerful results, working signs and wonders to confirm the gospel. So we see that, and we will find that in Acts chapter 6. It says, Stephen was full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. So we see that baptizing in the Holy Spirit is work signs and wonders. Although most people said today, signs and wonders is not for today's for the day's society, but yet still, saints of God, this is proof that signs and wonders still are for today's society. Also, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it comes with wax bold in the face of persecution. Wax bold in the face of persecution. We find that in Acts chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. But Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed to them, men of Judea, and all you residents of Jerusalem, let me explain this to you and pay attention to my word. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only 9 in the morning. So you see, saints of God, the Holy Spirit will give you boldness. So if you're operating in fear, that is not of the Holy Spirit, because God did give you a spirit of fear with power and love and a sound mind. So the Holy Spirit, it will give you boldness in the time of persecution. When someone out there persecuting, talking about you, the Holy Spirit would infill you with the power to speak boldly to that person or to that opposition, whatever it may be in your life, that speak boldly to it, that situation, I will put. Because right now, we're all going through some type of situation. But the Holy Spirit will give a boldness to speak to that situation. Also, we see that baptizing in the Holy Spirit, it's when it wins spiritual warfare, and it rages and wins spiritual warfare. In Acts chapter 16, it says, "Once as we was on our way to prayer, a slave girl met us who had a spirit of prediction. She made a large profit for her owner by fortune telling. As she followed Paul and us, she cried out, 'These men who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation are the slave of the Most High, or the Most High God.' And she did this for several days." So you see, saints of God. Oh, they ain't all up. And she did that for many days. But Paul was greatly aggravated and turned to the Spirit and said, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her right away. So you see, saints of God, the Holy Spirit working in you, it will wage war and win spiritual welfare. Because this girl, she was possessed and everything with demons and stuff, with evil spirit, I would say, to working for a man, making money for him, or a fortune teller. So we have to, that just goes to show us, saints of God, that we have to be careful on the things people tell us and all these phone, call 1-800 Claire, Miss Clara, and all these hand reading, palm reading signs. We have to be careful about, because the spirit in them, I would say the spirit in us is greater than the spirit in them. Amen. Also, being baptized of the Holy Spirit come with power, winning the most hardened sinners. Winning the hardened sinners. Romans chapter 15, and it says, "For I would not dare say anything except that Christ had accomplished through me to make the Gentile obedient by word and by deed. For the power of miracles, signs, and wonders, and by the power of God's Spirit, as a result, I have fully proclaimed the good news about the Messiah from Jerusalem all the way around to..." So in other words, so even with the hardening of hearts and everything, the Holy Spirit can convict them. Also, being baptized in the Holy Spirit become power to wait upon the Lord in prayer. It give you patience. In other words, it give you patience. Wait upon the Lord in prayer. Acts chapter 4. "And now, Lord, consider their threat and grant that your slave may speak your message with complete boldness. While you stretch out your hand for healing, signs, and wonders to be performed through the name of our Holy Savior Jesus." When they had prayed, the place where they was all simmer was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak God's message with boldness. So in other words, as they was praying and everything, God gave them boldness to wait upon their prayers to be answered. So when we pray sometimes, thanks to God, we pray and we want that prayer to be answered right then and there. But our time is not God's timing. Our thoughts is not God's thoughts. So if we pray, we need to pray as we received it and start thanking God for what we prayed for, that has always taken place. Because we believe that if we pray, believe that you receive. Amen. Also, we see that the Holy Spirit worked effectively in the various unit available in God's vineyard. So in other words, he can use you if you yield to him. See, Also, we see that the Holy Spirit weed out Satan terror that attempt to shoot up in your family, in your church. We'll find in Acts chapter 5, it said, but a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of his property. However, he kept back part of the proceeds with his wife knowledge and brought a portion of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the process from the field? Having it yours while you possess it, and after it was sold, and wasn't it at your disposal? Why is it that you plan this thing in your heart? You are not lying to men, but to God. When he heard these words, Ananias dropped dead, and the great fear came on all who heard. The young man got up, wrapped his body, carried him out, and buried him. There was an introvert about 3 hours when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Tell me, Peter asked her, did you sell the field for this price? She said, yes, she said, for that price. Then Peter said to her, why did you agree to test the spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Instantly, she dropped dead at his feet. When the young man came in, they found her dead, carried her out, and buried her beside her husband. Then the great fear came on the whole church and all who heard these things. So you see, thanks to God, the Holy Spirit will weed out all these things that that Satan is planted in your home, planted in your church, planted in your life. If you let him, you ain't got to lie to the Holy Spirit. Don't think you're going to get away with something by lying to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is in you and he knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. Amen. So be careful on that. But that's his job, to weed out those terrors that are tempting to shoot up in your family and in your church and on your job, anywhere in your life, period. So we have to be careful. Also, we find in chapter 8, it said, when Simon saw that the Holy Spirit was given through the laying on hand of the apostle hand, he offered them money, saying, give me this power too, that so that anyone I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter told him, may your silver be destroyed with you, because you thought the gift of God could be attained with money. So you see, saints of God, all this evil that people try to use the Holy Spirit for, we have to be careful. We can't use the Holy Spirit for our vantage, you know, our pleasure. The Holy Spirit within us to go out and witness to others. That's just like a gift that you have. If the gift that you have, if it's singing, it's not for just to glorify you, it's for to edify everybody. So be careful on who you're trying to perceive that you are, and using the Holy Spirit for your own thing. Just like Simon, he was trying to use the gift of laying a hand for his own profit, to gain profit. And just like Ananias and Sapphira, they try to use the Holy Spirit to gain profit for themselves. So we have to be careful. The Holy Spirit is there to empower us to do empower prophet of divine prophets of the leading the sinner man unto the kingdom of God. Also, the possession and preserving of the Holy Spirit anointing, we see that Paul, with reference to the Holy Spirit anointing and power in the believer as treasure and earthly vessel. We see it in 2 Corinthians, it's verse 7. It said, now we have this treasure in clay jar, so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. So we see that This treasure, it means something highly valuable, something that's stored up, not filtered away, is the power of the Holy Spirit, is a treasure, then it cannot be destroyed on the street with ease, nor in the valley or idleness, but must be diligently sought after. So we got to sought after this treasure that is hidden, saints of God. Jesus tell us that his parable of the hidden treasure, what to do when you discover a hidden treasure. We find that in Matthew chapter 13. This is what you do with the hidden treasure that you find. It said, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure buried in a field that a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes and sells everything he has and buys the field. So in other words, saints of God, when you find the treasure, you sell all that you have and buy it. So in other words, saints of God, what it's saying here, give up yourself. Take on the Holy Spirit. That's all it's saying. Give up yourself. Don't live in the flesh. Take on the Holy Spirit. Amen. We also see that, do you value the power of the Holy Spirit enough to sell off your ease, your earthly pursuit, time, comfort, and convenience in order to buy it? See, that's a question that we have to ask ourselves. Are we able to do, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to sell off the flesh, take off the flesh, I should say, and put on the Holy Spirit? Are you thirsty for God's fullness, thirsty enough to forsake all else in search of this divine anointing, thirsty enough to pay the price of a pure heart, feverish faith, tarrying in prayer? Do you value the possession of the Holy Spirit above wealth, certification, a rich wardrobe, a church position, fleshly pleasure, and such things that follows? Are you willing, in other words, thanks to God, are you willing to give up all this material things to live and let the Holy Spirit use you to live a godly life? That's all it's saying. Are you willing to give up all this earthly stuff? Because sometimes we as saints and everything, we get so bogged down in our house and our clothes and our looks, our job, our money, and we forget about what our purpose is because we are stewards of it anyway. It is belongs to God. So we have to be careful how we use that to our advantage. Amen. So the condition for receiving the power are very similar enough to you to be fulfilled. You see, saints of God, you must be born. In order to receive that power, you must be born again. John 3, and it says, Jesus replied, I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But how can anyone be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked him, can he enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born? And Jesus answered, I assure you, unless someone is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter to the kingdom of God. So you see, saints of God, the outpour of the Holy Spirit is upon the sons and daughters of God, and not given to stranger to the covenant of the grace. The Holy Spirit is for the sons and daughters of God. In other words, the believers. You got to be born again in order to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. If you will be filled with the Holy Spirit, you must pray for pure heart first. A heart filled with selflessness and carnality, inward incorruptible, lustful passion, pride, cannot be a worthy place for the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. So if you got any of those things within you, Thanks to God, pray for a pure heart, for the Holy Spirit to work in, through, and out of you. I'm not saying you, I'm talking to myself too. This for me also. You must tarry and believe in a prayer. We find in Luke chapter 24, Luke 24 and 49. And it said, and look, I am sending you what my father promised. As for you, stay in the city until you are in power from on high. So we see the Lord invite us to tarry, to all believers, when we pray, tarry, wait on him. Wait on our prayers to be answered. You must tarry in believing our prayers. Also, the Lord invite us to pray specifically for the Holy Spirit power. We find that in Luke chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. So I say unto you, keep asking, and it will be given to you. Keep searching, and you will find. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and for the one who searches, finds, and for the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And skip on down to verse 13. And if you then, who is evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So, in other words, so the Lord invite us to pray specific for the Holy Spirit power. It is for us. The Spirit of the Holy Spirit is for us as sons and daughters of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in other words, in possessing the power must be followed up with a plan for preserving it. You must turn away from the things that despise anointing if you want to retain it. Carelessness in moral and word, fleshly indulgence, presumption, overconfident, pride, prayerlessness, covetousness, and love of money must be avoided like a plague in your life in order to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. And in conclusion, saints of God, remember once again that the power of the Holy Spirit is like a treasure in an earthly vessel. A treasure should not be carelessly handled. You need to abide continually in God's presence. Now that it is all set, God is ready if you are in the time to pray. Pray until you are endued with power from on high. When the power comes, be an effective witness for Christ. Start from where you are and remain with God as he leads you to another ground to cover.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Jesus. Divine power for divine purpose. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, y'all quiet today. I believe they sponges. I believe they're receiving it. Amen. One thing I want you to know and remember, Jesus' title of that law that demanded purity. Jesus was and is holy. He had no sin. But remember, there was a great exchange. He cut covenant with us. For this divine power to have its divine purpose, you have the divine person of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you when you get born again. And all we have to do, there's a switch we have to switch on the inside. That's your will. We have to will, the Bible says, will to do. We have the will to do holy things for God because the Holy One is on the inside of us. See, it ain't what I do that makes me holy. It's whose I am that makes me holy. That divine power is from God. And God wants to use us to let it out. That's what I heard in a nutshell, Reed. That divine power for divine purpose starts with Jesus and ends with Jesus. Amen? And all he's asking for us is, and we each have a divine purpose. Now, we're all together in one. Our purpose is to show the world Jesus, to show the world the love of God. Jesus said, that love that I have, I want it to be in you. This is the whole commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Whoever's nearby. That's the world. Nearby in church, nearby in Walmart, Bojangles, wherever Ron's going to have lunch, there's somebody that needs Jesus. The world. I need more Jesus. In other words, I need to hear more how much he loves me, the knowledge of how much he loves me, to know him. Paul said to know him. And the power, where do you get that, the power? Knowing Jesus. And that gives you divine purpose. I ain't who I used to be, and I ain't who I'm going to be yet. See, I'm still being changed into his image from glory to glory. Amen. I'm not going to look like this in heaven. We're all going to be different. But the Spirit, I'll know you by your Spirit in heaven. By that divine Spirit, that divine purpose. And we're going to look good. We're going to look good in heaven. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message today. I thank you, Lord, for the divine purpose. Thank you, Lord, for that word that came forth right now, Lord, that we just agree. The Bible says, how can two of us walk together except we be agreed? We agree with you, Jesus, that you are holy, you are love, you are pure, lovely, just, righteous. That means we are. In your love, you have put us in the Beloved. You have put us in your love, that great love you love with us. You prayed, the Father, we would be one in that love. And Father, we want to win others to know that love. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we stir up that gift that's on the inside as we leave this place, that gift of the evangelist to go out here and see people and just share the love. Sometimes I just need you to hug them because you have that anointing. You have the love of God on the inside, and it can be touched, and it can be transferred. So we just thank you, Lord, we're transferring your anointing to others. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, everybody in this church, every person that has decided to come to this church and sit underneath this teaching, Lord, we just thank you they have the benefits of your grace and your power in their bodies and in their minds. That, Lord, we have been touched by your divine power, and we're being changed. And the devil, he has no place in our life and in our minds and in our bodies. And we decree today that we are free. Because the Bible said, the Word said, the psalmist said, the song said today, who the Son sets free is free indeed. That means everything I'm going to do, I'm going to be free to do it. I'm going to be free to live out my course here on this life. We together. But we got to make a choice. We got to give voice to that choice. That was the whole thing for this year, is we're going to be a voice that makes a choice to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, well, Lord, we say we're going to rejoice, and we're going to take our choice, and we're going to let it be known. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for your divine power right now being released in our bodies and in our future and in our children's children, Lord. The Bible says we're to lay up an inheritance for our children's children. I ain't there yet, Lord, but we're going there in the name of Jesus. We're going to have to be able to give. We're going to have to be able to give. You got to believe that and receive it. And you got to determine to see it manifest. And you don't be satisfied until you have it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. If you need personal prayer this morning, we'll be glad to agree with you.